Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. It is Wednesday, so that means that we are joined by Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health with the Leeds, Granville, and Lanark District Health Unit. Dr. Lee, welcome back to Lake 88.
Good morning.
It is good to have you here. We wanted to talk about the weather. You know, we've talked about this before, but we have this extreme heat that has hit the area, and it's going to carry on through at least tomorrow. So we wanted to put out some reminders there. It's kind of like, you know, yesterday we had the first day of school and we remind people about healthy lunches and, you know, being careful when you're driving. We have to do this with the heat, especially after the August we had, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is hot. It's very hot out there. It will be hot into tomorrow. The forecast is that it will continue to be high temperatures into the evening tomorrow. And high temperatures can affect your health. I think that's pretty self-evident. It feels pretty obvious to people. I myself have had situations where I thought, oh, not only am I uncomfortable, but like I'm starting to feel a little bit unwell. And that's an effect of heat on your body. Your body is very good at cooling itself. That's what sweating is. But for some people and in some circumstances, that may be difficult. And then your body temperature starts to rise. And the body, you know, is well conditioned for a very specific set of temperatures. And so if the temperature in your body starts to rise, it can be a problem. And especially right now, right, because it's already September, I can't believe it, you do get expectations in your mind of what the temperature is going to be. September is not expected to be usually this hot, and usually we don't have these hot weather or heat warnings in September. You can be dehydrated when you're overheated. You can be on the spectrum of heat exhaustion or heat stroke. And in really serious cases, you can actually lose consciousness. And in some cases, it can be fatal. And so it's important to watch out for heat and know what to do. And even short periods of exposures to high heat for some people can be a health problem for them.
So let's give some people some things to look for. When should someone seek medical attention? And you know, what symptoms are important to watch for?
Yeah, so if you're having symptoms such as nausea or dizziness or blurred vision in relation to high temperatures, if you're having difficulty breathing, if you're breathing quickly and feel out of breath or short of breath, if you have a serious headache, or if you're starting to become confused, or if you have high body temperatures, what we would consider a fever, all of these things may be symptoms of heat causing problems. So heat exhaustion, heat stroke. And, you know, sometimes that can come and go, and then you're better. You drink some water, you cool down, and it's better. And in that case, it may not be necessary to seek medical attention. But certainly, if you're getting into the area of confusion, lowered level of consciousness, those are times to seek medical attention. And then if your symptoms don't go away, even if you've done things to decrease your body temperature, that's also times to seek medical attention. This is especially important for people who are particularly vulnerable to heat-related conditions. So those people would be older adults, so people who are elderly, you at the extremes of age, so as well as very young children, infants. At the extremes of age, it's actually more difficult for the body to regulate its own temperature. And so that's something to watch out for. You can overheat more quickly. People with chronic illness, especially people with heart disease, because heart disease makes you very vulnerable to heat-related illnesses, because your heart then has to compensate for the heat. And if you have heart disease, then your heart is less able to compensate, and that can cause problems. Certain medications may affect your ability to, for example, sweat or regulate your own temperature. That can make you more vulnerable. And then as well, people who, you know, less about your physiology and more about the environment you're in. So people who have challenges with housing or shelter, they're sheltering in their car, which can overheat very quickly. People with who are living not in a house or an apartment or in a condo, but, you know, couch surfing, people who are homeless, even living in a tent, all of those things can make you vulnerable to environmental heat, as well as people who are physically active outdoors in the heat and can't necessarily avoid it. So, for example, if you're doing outdoor work, if your day-to-day takes you outdoors and you're in the sun and you can't get out, then that can put you at risk of heat-related illness as well.
I think it's important, too, that we go over when Environment Canada issues an official heat warning, because I'm sure there have been many people who have seen the temperatures go up and say, well, why isn't there a heat warning today, you know, or something like that. There are certain criteria that have to be met.
Yeah, so the criteria is published by Environment Canada, so you can look it up. But essentially, daytime temperatures of 31 degrees Celsius or higher and nighttime temperatures of 20 degrees or higher for at least 2 days, right? So it's not just one day of that, but more than one day. A humidex of 40 degrees Celsius for at least 2 days. So those two categories are primarily used to be considered an official heat warning. And really, it's very important to, I think we all know this, but just to put words to it, in different regions, even within different towns, you may actually have different forecasts. So keep an eye out on the temperature yourself, and then also keep an eye out on Environmental Canada's warnings and publications for your specific region. And you know, for example, you may be looking at Ottawa weather a lot of the times, but it may or may not be applicable to us. Same thing between sort of Lanark versus Leeson-Grenville, etc.
All right. Yeah. And even in our own area, you look at down by the Seaway versus, you know, up where we are in Perth, there, you know, there can be quite a difference. We see that in the winter with the amount of snow that they get or don't get and that sort of thing. So you're exactly right. If people want to get more information about the effects of the heat, I'm sure you have a couple of places that they could go take a look.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, of course, this is the time to raise our website as an option. We have a webpage about extreme temperatures. We also have information. If you call us, then you can speak to somebody with a little bit more specific information for your situation. We do also provide updates. And for example, we provided a recent media release around the heat warnings, and lots of other updates on our social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, lots of different ways to get information with us.
And we put up information as well on our website, and it has tips on how to beat the heat and, you know, about your pets and so on. And that's all based on conversations that we've had with the health unit and Environment Canada. So we're happy to share that information as well. And it's really important people know it, because I guarantee you can read through some of the health unit information and say, oh, I didn't know that. Or, hey, that's a good idea. You know, things of that type, right?
It's one of those things where it's not necessarily relevant. You don't necessarily remain the information or retain the information until you're thinking about it and you're trying to use it. And then you think, ah, yes, this is useful. I've had that experience for sure.
Indeed. Now we're going to switch gears just a little bit here. We have a couple minutes to talk about a special day coming up this Saturday, September 9th is FASD Awareness Day. For anyone who doesn't know, and we've talked about this quite a bit here on Lake 88 with the Rural FASD Network and just that incredible organization, the great work that they do. But for anybody who doesn't know, please explain what FASD is.
Yeah, so FASD stands for Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorder, and the name is really quite expressive. So fetal means it happens due to exposure during the fetal period. So before you're born, when you're developing as a fetus, alcohol. So it really has to do specifically with exposure to alcohol as a substance or as a toxin in the body. Spectrum, it is a spectrum of physiological effects on the body. So not everyone is affected by FASD in the same way. And disorder, of course, you know, it is an abnormality in the body. So fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, it is caused, as I just mentioned, it is caused by alcohol exposure during pregnancy. So when the person who's pregnant is drinking alcohol during pregnancy, then that's when you can expose the developing baby to the risk of FASD.
And we do know too that this can happen, and it does happen quite frequently in the cases of FASD, where the mother doesn't even know she's pregnant, and you know, and it happens that way. It isn't an intentional decision in every case to continue drinking, even though you know you're with child.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the realities of pregnancy, is oftentimes you don't know that you're pregnant in the early stages, and as well that the effect of alcohol, and in this case, I would call it a toxin, because from a physiological perspective, it truly is a toxin. It is at greatest risk of causing FASD relatively earlier in the pregnancy, although there can be risk all throughout the pregnancy. And so it is safest not to drink during pregnancy, or to your point, Bob, if you're planning to be pregnant, if you're at risk of pregnancy. And FASD really is totally preventable, because it only happens as a result of alcohol exposure during pregnancy, which means that, you know, in the absence of alcohol exposure, then that's a disorder that would not exist. So having supports, having that knowledge is really critical.
I think it's really interesting, too, that they've chosen September 9th. There's a reason behind that.
Yeah. And so it really is about the importance of going alcohol free for that full 9 months of pregnancy. So 9 being the number of emphasis in this situation. So that's the reason for September 9th, ninth day, ninth month.
And finally, here in our closing moments, I'd like you to share any messages around reducing the stigma for families who are affected by fetal alcohol use. You've done that a little bit, if you could expand a touch.
Yeah, so I think we talked about FASD being oftentimes something that happens because of alcohol exposure that people were not aware that they were pregnant, and so the woman is drinking, as we often do in our culture and our communities, without realizing that there was also additional unexpected harm to a developing fetus. It is a complex disorder. I had talked about it being a spectrum, and so there can be a spectrum of physiological effects, both on the and on physical development of someone who has FASD, as well as on their mental and psychological development. It is important that we think about the language we use, that it's supportive and doesn't further perpetuate stigma and misinformation around pregnancy, alcohol use, FASD, both, you know, in terms of what causes it, as well as people who are living with that disorder. Lots of people with FASD have positive outcomes and can live a sort of fulfilling and satisfying life. And that can happen, I should really say, in a number of situations, regardless of the disorder or regardless of the health issue that people are dealing with. And really a lot of the challenges that people have to do with the ways that our society or our communities are set up to not make it necessarily easy for people with disabilities or with differences in their physiology to be able to move through the world. And so these are things that I think we can be conscientious of in the way that we design our communities, in the way that we relate with each other, in the way that we think of and understand disorders, health problems that people experience all throughout their lives.
Dr. Lee, as always, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. We look forward to our next conversation, which will be 1 week from today. Thank you again for being here.
Yeah, thank you. And have a good week.
You too. Our guest today on In Focus, as she is every Wednesday, Dr. Lena Lee, the Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. We tackle a different topic each week. You don't want to miss it. I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening. We'll do it all again tomorrow.